Amen. Thank you for the tip. Seated, and so glad you're here today, and we're excited and looking forward again to next week. Hope you'll be here. Hope you'll be encouraging folks to join you, especially those we've had over the 50 years, lots of folks that have come, and maybe for a little while they moved on somewhere else, and that's, you know, thankful that there are some that the Lord has planted for us to stay a long while, and there's others that come for just a short season. You know, things do change. Sometimes we think of change as a bad thing. But as we look at God's Word, I hope by the end of this morning's message that change is a very good thing. I was looking through some old pictures from the church from the early 80s, the late 70s. The church was young. I couldn't discern anybody that I knew, so all of you were safe. That's probably because you were, if you were around, then you were a lot younger, and your hair was a lot bigger. I also noticed that the men's ties, the ties have got skinnier, and their bodies have gotten wider over the last several years. But change is a good thing. I'm thankful that the Lord takes us just as we are, but He doesn't leave us that way. That to live for the Lord is to live a changed life. And that is a very good thing. So that's what we want to talk about this morning, is how do we live that changed life? And the Apostle Peter has some advice for us on that subject. So if you'll turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Peter writes, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regards to these, they think it is strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." And he says in verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So we've certainly, in the 50 years that our church has been here, started in Battleground Park Community Center over in Jackson 50 years ago this year, and they moved here, at the end of that year, 1974 or early 1975, had a little trailer that's at the bottom of the hill now that they met in before they built. The education building was the first actual church building, I guess. It was kind of mobile home and church building, I guess, even though it was. And then they added on to it another sanctuary, and then they built this building. And so the church has changed a lot in the 50 years that it's been here. And I'm thankful for that, and I hope you are too. And that change that God's working in our life, in our church, is not complete until Jesus comes back. As long as we're alive, Jesus is working on us. Like that old children's song you maybe sang in Bible school, "God's still working on me." You remember that? He made the moon and the stars and Jupiter and Mars, but he's still working on me. And certainly there's some good truth to that, that God is working on us. But Peter is saying, listen, the days are getting shorter. Folks, if you've watched the news at all the last few months and even the last few years, the world has gone nuts. But here's the thing about this world. Jesus said, when he came, he said, listen, before I come back again, the world's going to go nuts. And there's going to be fighting and wars and famines and fires and all these different natural disasters. And we certainly are seeing a great increase in those things in around the world and even in our own nation. And so he says, as you see these things, what do you do? Do you throw your hands up in despair and say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Let's just, you know, have a pity party. No. He says, listen, remember, God has changed you. And that is a marvelous and a wonderful thing. And so he says, you pray more diligently as you see these things happen. And we're going to talk about some of the things that we pray for and that we display. And the first thing that I want to see is that there is living a changed message, first of all, requires a changed life. If you're going to tell others about what Jesus can do for them, he's had to have done something for you. And the reality is, and maybe some of us don't recognize it as much as we should, Jesus has been very good to us and very gracious to us and, you know, been long-suffering. I know he's been long-suffering with me, and I have a feeling he's been long-suffering with you too. Because the reality is that none of us should be alive. And we probably have all made dumb decisions. That had it not been for the Lord intervening on our behalf, we'd have been, you know, in the graveyard or in the prison, you know, or somewhere, you know, not in a good place. He said, listen, you used to be a drunkard or a reveler. You used to be a party animal. You used to cuss like a sailor. But he said, listen, if you're saved, you're not that way anymore. And he says, listen, if lost people think you're one of them, you're in trouble. He said, the lost people, I see there's something different about you. He said, yeah, they'll make fun of you. They'll think it's strange that you don't want to go party with them. That's a good thing. That's a testimony that your life has been changed by a relationship with Jesus Christ. People who are saved and people that are lost live different lives. What's important to them is different. Their priorities are different. We think it's strange that there's a lot of people in Pearl, Mississippi that didn't get up this morning and decide to go to church. The reality, there's probably not one church within Pearl that is busting at the seams and there's no open chairs. Is it because people don't know the church is there? Pearl, Mississippi, maybe 50 years ago, there were not many churches here in our community. That is no longer the case. There's 6 Baptist churches within a couple miles of our church. There's, you know, probably close, I haven't counted them, but I guess the number is probably close to 100, if not more than 100 churches in our town. So the reason that people aren't going to church is not because there's no church for them to go to. There are plenty of good Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches in our community. The problem is, lost people don't have any desire to go to church. That's something that God's people do. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, listen, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and this is the practice of the heathen. Now, are we glad for people that are lost to come to our church? Absolutely we are. We want them to come. And we want them to know that we love them and God loves them and God can change their life if they'll allow him. But church is primarily for those that are saved. We come together corporately to sing praises to God and to pray together and hear God's word preached and taught, that we can grow. Because as we do those things, guess what? It changes us. It changes who we are. And we see who we are by what we do. Can I tell you that if you call yourself a Christian and you don't pray and you don't read your Bible and you don't go to church, you're definitely not a Christian. That's where they ought to be with the Lord. If you are saved, you're certainly living out of fellowship with God. And can I tell you that a person out of fellowship with God is the most miserable person on the planet? A lost person is lost. The thing is, they don't know they're lost. That's the first thing you have to do in order to get somebody to be saved, to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They have to recognize that they're lost, that they need a Savior. They don't know that. But a saved person that's had a relationship with Jesus Christ and knows the love and the forgiveness of God, when they're out of fellowship with God and God is convicting them, and the Holy Spirit speaking to them, and they know it. And they're miserable because the joy of the Lord that they could have, they don't have. Not because God doesn't want to give it, but because they're not doing what it takes to have it. When Jesus saves us, again, he takes us just as we are, but he does not leave us like he found us. He makes us new. He changes us. How we know somebody is saved is their life is changed. Not that they're perfect. And I dare say that this side of heaven, there's not one of us that will ever be perfect or sinless. We will still wrestle with sin and we will wrestle with the things of this world. But the things of this world do not have control of our life. You're here today, this morning, because God is important to you and this church is important to you. Why? Because your life has been changed. And the wonderful thing about God's grace and God's forgiveness is it's available to anyone. The reality is, if God can save me and God can save you, he can save and he will save anyone. That is a marvelous and wonderful thing. And so the first thing we need to do in order to live a changed message or to give a changed message is to have a changed life. But the second thing we need to do is have a changed love. The children of God and the people that don't know God think differently about love. Most of the people of this world equate love with stuff and sex. And I tell you that love is not about either of those things. This is what the Apostle Paul has to say about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That is how God defines love. That is definitely not how this world defines love. And how you can know if you belong to God or if you don't is, how do you define love? What is it that makes you feel loved? And how is it that you show love? It changes when you become a child of God, doesn't it? Because one reality of that, all of us are born in sin. And one thing that sin does, and that curse is on every one of us, is it makes us selfish human beings. We, by nature, think of ourselves first. You don't believe that. You just go to a two-year-old and try to take away a toy they're playing with. And what are they going to say? Mine! Even when there's a toy box of 500 toys in that room. That's selfishness. Or say, listen, I'll love you if you love me first. That's not what love really is. Paul says that love is patient and enduring and overlooks character flaws. And by the way, all of us have character flaws. If you don't, men especially, if you don't know what your character flaw is, ask your wife, they'll tell you. All of us have them. And when you love someone, you love their good qualities, and all of you have some of those too. But if somebody really loves you, they love you despite the flaws. And that is not a natural thing. But you see, I think it's impossible for us to really know what love is until we come to know the love that God has for us. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, we talked about that last week, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would call upon him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse certainly is true. And John echoes that in 1 John 4:19 when he says, we love because he first loved us. Paul said in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his love toward us in this, that he died for us while we were in our sin. Christ didn't wait and say, well, I'll love them. If they come to me, then I'll love them. That's not how he operates. That's how mankind operates, but it's not how God operates. God operates by saying, I love you even if you spit in my face and slap my face and kick me and do everything you can to deny my existence, I still love you anyway. I'm thankful that God's love is patient and kind. Think back for a moment. How many people shared the gospel with you before you finally got it through your thick skull that God loved you and you needed to have a relationship with him? God didn't just send the message one time, did he? He probably sent it several times. And then it finally sunk in. But a changed love also, it changes the object that, you know, before, listen, people that are living without God, they're about amassing a bunch of money, about amassing a bunch of stuff, amassing a bunch of titles. That's what's important. That's how people, you know, how society in large says if you're successful or not. But that is not how God defines success or love. That doesn't mean that if we love God that we don't have anything or that we don't have any stuff or that we don't have any position. But what it does mean is those things are not what we love. They're instruments or tools that God has given us that we can use to do what he's asked us to do. But our love ultimately is to him. And because we love God, guess what God's word says? We have to love others too. And we have to be willing to forgive others, by the way, as well. But having a relationship with Jesus Christ means that what we love changes. Many people in society think it is mighty odd if some people get up on Sunday morning and get dressed and drive to church for an hour or two, and they think it's odd that you give money to the church and that you give time to the church and that you say, well, I can't go with you to do this because I've got something at church. People think that's very odd. But you see, when you love God, and you know what we love in life takes priority in our life. And so if we love God, it's not stuff that takes the priority of our life. It's God himself. But here the Bible, by the way, says that if we love God first, God gives us the desires of our heart. And the reason God's Word can promise that is because if we love God first, the things that we want and the things that we hunger after change. And it's no longer the big boat or the big house or the big title or the front corner office. It's God saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so as we live this changed message or a changed light, that's the last thing we need to do is be a changed light for the Lord. That people need to see God in us. I have heard several times from various people, we see it in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. Many have ushered, "I could almost become a Christian, except I know some." We live in the buckle of the Bible Belt in Mississippi, where it's still largely expected that we at least have some connection to church, although studies consistently show that fewer and fewer people are attending church. There's still this expectation that we at least claim membership in some church, even if we don't attend. And there's, but if God has changed our life, God has changed our life so that we might be a light, that we might be able to show others the way to God, the way that we found God. If you've ever wandered around late at night through the house and you've not turned the lights on because you didn't want to wake anybody up, chances are pretty good you stubbed your toe a time or two on a dresser or on a wall or a door, or you stepped on a Lego, and those little thing, that little piece of plastic, that's one of the most painful things in the world. You step on the thing. Why do you do that? You don't do that normally. At least I hope you don't. Why don't you do that during the day? Because there's light. And you can see that, hey, listen, little Johnny left a Lego on the floor, let me walk around it. Or, hey, listen, there's the wall there, let me not walk into the wall, let me go through the door. That'd probably work a little bit better. We can see in the light because the light's there. The reality is, Scripture tells us that when we were without Christ, we were living in darkness. And the only way we could get out of that darkness was somebody who was in the light had to come and share their light with us. And guess what? The recipe for how people get saved hasn't changed since the Gospels were written, and since the Apostle Paul preached great messages, and since Peter preached great messages. It's still the same way. God's people who have the light of God inside of them sharing that light with others. So the Apostle Paul says, listen, so show hospitality to one another. Without grumbling, he says. Be hospitable one to another. Love one another. What's he saying? Live different. Understand and show people that you are a changed light and that the light that is in you can help point others to Jesus. There is an old cliche, and it is cliche, but I think it still holds some validity, and so I'll share it with you. That your life may be the only Bible some people will ever read. So that means that you darn tootin' better make sure that the message they get is the message that matches up to this book. He says, listen, be hospitable one to another. In other words, when one has a need, Don't think of yourself. A couple weeks ago, Leslie got sick and was having some issues in the middle of church. Miss Kay drove her to the urgent care. Miss Kay missed an excellent, if I do say so myself, sermon. It was a good one. And maybe she's gone back and she's listened to it on Facebook. Miss Kay did not think, well, I can't do that. I've got to stay listening to the preaching. I don't want to miss preaching. No, she said, well, it inconvenient. And she took Leslie and sat with Leslie until I got there. Why? Because Miss Kay was displaying the love of Christ that lives in her to a sister in Christ that needed her. And so when we hear of brothers and sisters in the Lord that are hurting or have needs, we have a responsibility to help them. And yes, that sometimes is inconvenient. Sometimes it costs us something. Sometimes it costs us money, or it costs us time, or it costs us giving up doing something that we had planned. But the Peter gives the admonition to all of us, if we're going to say that we want to live a changed message, we've got to be hospitable to one another. We've got to love one another. We've got to also use our spiritual gifts to glorify God and to serve one another. See, every one of you that is a child of God has at least one, but probably more than one, spiritual gift. Some special spiritual thing that God has given you. God's also given you special natural talents that you have, the things that you're just good at. But there are spiritual gifts that God has given you. And Peter says, those spiritual gifts, use them. Paul tells us that the reason God has given us spiritual gifts is that the body of Christ might be complete. Not so that we'd say, hey, listen, look at all these gifts I got. Or so we could look to somebody else and say, hey, the gift I have is better than your gift, nanny, nanny, nanny. No. Our gifts are given to us so that we can help one another and we can glorify and serve God together. The reality is not one of us have all the gifts and not all of us have the same gift. We all have different gifts and we have differing numbers of gifts. But the gifts that we have, God has given to all of us so that we can build up the body of Christ together and that we can serve the Lord. Showing hospitality, by the way, is a mark of the child of God. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13:2, you know this verse probably pretty well. It says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. We are to be showing hospitality not just to our church family, but other believers, even those that come from a different church. And we're even supposed to show hospitality to those that are lost. So we can't say, well, I'm sorry, you're straight. I don't know if you're saved or not, so I can't show hospitality and love to you. That's not an excuse. We can't do that. The world would be perfectly okay with that. But as we are a changed light, we can't be okay with that. It doesn't matter who a person is, they are made in the image of God, and they have value and worth simply because they are made in the image of God. And God says, I have sometimes sent people across your path so that you might can be a light to them, so that maybe a gospel seed can be planted, or a gospel seed that somebody else has planted can be watered, so that it might sprout and grow. God uses His people. The thing is that when we are living a changed life and we have this changed light, that God will bring people across our path. And that we will see that, hey, listen, we are making a difference for the Lord's sake. Now, do we all want our church to grow? Absolutely we do. I hope you will say that. But the primary objective is not for our church to grow and fill up and have to build an even bigger building. If that ever becomes the message of this church, may this church cease to exist. Because that is not God's mission for His church. But as we go about being changed light and we share the light of Christ with others, some will receive that message and they themselves will be changed and the body of Christ grows. And guess what? As the body of Christ grows, chances are pretty good our church will grow as well. So our focus is not just on our local little church, but on the body of Christ and glorifying God. So He said, listen, these gifts that you have, use them to glorify God, but so that the world can look at you, and they can see it. They can see those people at 2412 Upper Drive are different. They sure behave differently. They love and they care for one another, and they care for others. And they want to make a difference in our community and in the world. It's not us in our own power that does that, by the way. The only reason we have spiritual gifts are because of God's grace and His mercy to us. We don't deserve those gifts. God just gives them to us. And can I tell you that He gave you those gifts so that you can use them, not so you can put them on a bookshelf in a display case and say, oh, look at this pretty gift I got. He gives it to us that we might be used. And so, yes, indeed, children of God, we are called to live a changed message. We do that by having a changed life, by having a changed love, and being a changed light. Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your word. Lord, thank You for the change that You've wrought in me and many others that are gathered here today. Lord, we're not what we used to be, but praise God, but we're not what we're going to be either. Thank You that You're still working on us. Lord, if there's one here today that's never begun a relationship with You and begun this new changed life, Lord, they're living the same old way. Their life is full of sin, and the things they're hunting after are sinful and selfish. And they're loving like the world loves. God, oh, might You change their heart today. Might they call out to You for a changed life and a changed message. The Bible says that if we'll call out to You, You will save us. Lord, may You help us to remember the importance of the mission You've given to us. Might we be a light to this community and to the world. May what's most important to any of us, individually and collectively as a church, may it always be, Lord, what You are doing and what honors and glorifies You. May that be our goal, is to always uplift the name of Jesus and to see people's lives changed by the only thing that can really change any of us, and that's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So we pray that You would help us to be Your people. Help us to be Your hands and feet. Help us to remember that we are a changed light. That people are watching us. And may we work to make sure that when they look at us, they see You in how we live our life. Forgive us when we fail to do that. And work in us to accomplish that more and more, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If God spoke to your heart, there's a decision you need to make. Today would be a great day to make that decision.